Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Back in June, we spoke with Steve Perlstein, former journalist turned chef, whose latest venture was a food truck specializing in soup. We spoke with him after his first recipes had come together, but while the truck itself, called the Simmer Truck, was still a work in progress. 5 months later, the truck has become a staple on Milwaukee's growing food truck scene, and so we thought it would be worth a trip down to street level one day when the Simmer Truck was parked out in front of the Chase Tower. We caught up with Steve and his wife, Jennifer Block, as they geared up for the lunchtime rush. Thank you so much for having me in your truck.
Well, thanks. We're happy to have you here. Last time we talked, the truck was under construction, if I recall, so there was no truck to stand in. And we're very happy to have a truck and have it operating.
It was a gleam in your eye.
It was a gleam in a garage in Ohio at that point. It was about halfway done.
Yeah, now we've been operating for about 3 months, a little over 3 months.
All right, well, so let me ask you the obvious question. Compare the dream of doing this with the reality of doing this.
It's a lot of work, but we knew it was going to be a lot of work, but we didn't realize quite exactly how many hours. But it's fantastic. We love the flexibility. We love being able to go where people request us to be.
For me, the best part of it has been how gratifying it is that we've done this and people have responded, and we've been able, in a pretty short amount of time, to be successful at it.
Well, and this is obviously not your first foray in the food world, but were there things that you did not know that you have learned since you've got this up and running?
I never in my food life have I ever had to deal with truck maintenance. You have the kitchen, and you have the issues that come with the kitchen, because, you know, you're standing in a fully licensed commercial kitchen right now. But then you have making sure that you have enough propane, and you have the engine braking, and you have to worry about oil changes and things like that. So for me, that's kind of the new part of it.
What about you? What is the steepest learning curve for you been?
Well, I had mostly just learning to work in the space that we have. It's a pretty good size in here because it's wider than a lot of trucks, but just working together and coordinating our movements, it's been the most difficult.
It's only been 25 years. We hadn't figured that out yet.
Well, and who would think that there is a certain amount of choreography that has to go into working in a kitchen?
Well, there is, and, you know, the interesting thing is, compared to other trucks, as Jennifer said, this is much wider. So we really have good space here. And there's only two of us. A lot of trucks had three or more people. But still, I mean, you know, you have to make sure that you're not running into people or that you're not stabbing each other, because, you know, we have sharp knives here. And
the interesting part is when we're really busy, we tend to work better together, just because when we're not as busy, we're trying to both do everything. We have our own little roles in here.
When it really gets humming, when there's a line, and we have, you know, tickets up here, and we have food to cook and food to get out, we kind of like fall into the routine. It's always better to be busy, and that holds true for space and time management as well.
How do you feel you have connected with the food truck universe in this city? The customers that are getting used to trucks being out there, and, you know, finding your niche along with all the other trucks that have sprouted up really just in the last year or two.
Well, there's a couple of parts to that. First of all, the food trucks here are pretty close in the community. We get along really well. We help each other out. We got a text from one of the other trucks the other day. They had an event they were committed to. They couldn't make it, so they called us, and we took care of it, and, you know, there's a lot of that goes on. There's a lot of working together, there's a lot of sharing space, ingredients, holding parking spaces, whatever, so that's great. And we've definitely, I guess for me, I can't speak for Jennifer, but what I imagined would be our biggest revenue sources and what I imagined would be more successful for us is not necessarily what's come to pass. We're making much more of our money from catering than I thought we would, which is great, and that's starting to take off. That's been a pretty steep learning curve, at least for me.
We've also been asked to sort of change our menu to some extent. We've added a lot more gluten-free soups, a lot of vegan products, just because we've had such a demand for that kind of thing. So people are seeking us out because we have the gluten-free cookies, and we have gluten-free soups every day, and vegan soup every day, vegan panini every day.
Well, and I think we talked about this in the studio, the idea of doing this and the idea of it being different from a restaurant in the sense of being able to change your menu on a fairly quick turnaround. And has that proven to be the case? Is it easier when somebody starts saying, well, wait, hey, how about making a gluten-free soup that might include this ingredient? Is it fairly fast to turn that around?
Yeah, and we've done exactly that. One of our menu items have been food suggestions. We've had some that have definitely...
Definitely the vegan paninis have been. We did a grilled veggie for a while. Now we're on to the Southwest tofu panini. We added the veggie meal in a bowl. So we always have the... Right now it's a quinoa salad.
Yeah, and Jennifer came up with the idea to do gluten-free cookies. And we started with gluten-free chocolate chip. And, you know, people have really warmed to that. So we've expanded to a couple other kinds of gluten-free cookies. So, and it's just nice to be able, as we thought we would be able to, it's nice to be able to say, okay, so, you know, we had a beer brat panini, which kind of sprung out of a conversation with customers. And we did that, and it did well. And we were mulling stuff around. And Jennifer said, well, you know, we should try a bacon cheeseburger. And literally 48 hours later, we had bacon cheeseburger paninis on the truck, and they've been doing really well, too. So that's been really fun. And, you know, we just talk about what we want to do, and then we do it.
Yeah, we've always had the creme brulee on, and we added the vegan creme brulee because I decided I wanted to find a recipe that looked good, and so I played around with that at home and baked some up, and they tasted really good. So those sometimes sell better than our regular creme brulees. It's fun just having a variety on the truck.
How about the whole building a brand aspect? How well known do you feel you are, and how hard has it been to develop, you know, Simmer Truck as something people know what it is when they hear the name?
I feel like we've really done well at building the brand. People know us when they see us driving down the street. They know us when they see us parked on the street. They talk about having seen us in X, Y, or Z place. People seek us out. We did an event in Oshkosh, the Tough Mudder Race, which was amazing, and it was just this huge thing, and 25,000 people. And we've had people come to the truck here in Milwaukee since then who discovered us there and now have found us here. So we took the time and the expense to make a really nice logo and to really brand the truck, and I think it's paid off with people really, really noticing us and remembering us.
How ready are you for the weather to turn colder, and how well is this truck likely to do in the snow?
I think we're going to do really well. I mean, we've already in the last couple of weeks, we've seen like an increase in sales in soup, definitely. People are buying larger soups, they're buying more soup, and definitely in the offices around here, people are asking us if we're going to be out all winter and are excited about that, because most food trucks are not.
Plus, we're trying to really expand our catering, so that can be a good piece of our winter. We've done some backstage catering at Turner Hall already. We're going to be doing more of that. We've started doing lunch deliveries to offices, and we're working on doing a lot more of that. We're booking holiday parties now, which is, you know, definitely something that's been picking up. So in addition to being out on the street, which we can do because, you know, we park the truck indoors, nothing's going to freeze unless it's zero out, and then we'll take that day off. And we're really working at rounding out our offerings so that we can stay busy even when we're not on the street.
And at some point you have to really hope the city does a nice job of clearing the curb space for you to be able to fit in the spaces.
I think we're going to need to have a shovel on board. I've definitely thought about that. We need to find a nice small shovel that we can stash and use when necessary.
I mean, are you concerned about running into trouble when there is a snow emergency declared?
There are definitely going to be days this winter when we can't go out. We can operate down to a certain pretty cold temperature, but below that, it's going to be too cold. You know, if there's a blizzard out, we're not going to be able to go out.
Nobody's going out anyway, so we'll be okay.
Right. So there'll be days when we're not going out, but there'll be a lot of days, I think, when we can go out and sell, and that's kind of where we're headed with that.
How long does it take to get used to the heat in this kitchen?
It hasn't been as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's a lot better than other trucks because it is an old school bus. We have windows on both sides, and that cross ventilation makes a huge difference.
In fairness, I'm not really dressed for it.
Yeah, and it's not that hot on here compared to how it could be.
Well, we don't even have all the windows open today, and we have some small fans that we can turn on to blow at us.
Yeah, it's not as bad. I mean, there are trucks that get oppressively hot. I mean, really, really 110, 120 degrees hot no matter what. This truck doesn't do so badly, and you know, we have a nice hood which draws the heat out pretty well, and the windows work, and it's a kitchen, so it's going to be a little hot.
Well, Steve, Jennifer, I'm going to let you get ready for the lunch rush, but thanks so much. Best of luck.
Thanks, Mitch.
Okay, thank you.
Steve Perlstein and Jennifer Block are the husband and wife team that run the Simmer Truck, a Milwaukee food truck specializing in soup. We spoke with them aboard the truck while it was parked in front of the Chase Tower, where our studios are located. You can find a link to where to find the truck each day from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. So now that we have you hungry for lunch, that's going to be Lake Effect for a Monday. Tomorrow on the show, we'll meet a second grade teacher honored as one of the top young teachers in the business. Plus, the Public Policy Forum looks at schools across the region. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock. Have a great day. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.